OK, you're listening to Southside Broadcasting and Siren FM's Midweek Drive on location at the 2013 Bramham International Horse Trials, the Equitrek Bramham International Horse Trials. Earlier today, of course, we spoke with Winnie Murphy about the designated charity, and of course it is the firefighters that are actually involved with this whole thing, and we've got two fabulous folk from the firefighters charity, starting off with the legend that is Dom.
Pleased to meet you, thank you very much.
And you've also brought our wonderful solo along, who I believe is Chrissy.
Hiya.
Okay, so Dom, do we get surnames?
Dom Furby, yeah, I'm a serving firefighter as well, which is based in West Yorkshire, so I'm also part of the charity as well.
And Chrissy?
It's Chrissy Fielden, and I'm the regional fundraiser for the Firefighters Charity.
So really, you're the person who really, at the end of the day, is the most important. It's all right.
She is very
important. London's Burning was a fabulous series a while back, which featured one of our regular people, Rupert Baker, as a main actor there. The fire service in general is something which, I mean, clearly you guys just do so much fabulous stuff. I mean, I commented that looking at the Humberside Fire and Rescue Service, does that mean with cutbacks that if Hull actually catches fire now, it's gone completely, you brought it over to Bramham?
I hope not. I think we've got more than two vehicles in Humberside.
That's all right then.
That should be all right then. It should be able to cover just Hull.
That's okay. Let's get back down to why you're here and why the Firefighters Charity is obviously sort of present today and also at this equine event.
Well, Chris has done a lot of work to make sure that the Firefighters Charity is the chosen charity from Bramham. She's worked tirelessly to sort of work with Bramham to say, look, the firefighters work not just in rescue of people from properties, but a big part of our role now, as you can see with Humberside being here, is large animal rescue. And that's not just cows, the norm of it. We do horse rescues, as you've probably heard in newspaper clippings and things like this. And so Bramham were keen to work with us regarding fundraising for the Firefighters Charity, but also showing a lot of people here who have horses, who work with horses on farms and things like this, for the fire service, get involved in the rescue of large animals.
See, Chrissy, I used to think fire services and animals simply referred to cats in trees, but a horse in a tree, a different thing entirely.
You should see them. They happen quite often. You'd be amazed at the sort of rescues that we have to do, yeah.
Can we talk us through some of those anecdotal things that you've been involved with? I mean, give me an example, Tom.
Yeah. Well, not a large animal. I keep reverting back to a story I've just been talking about. I've actually had a monkey in a tree, believe it or not. A cheeky monkey. Believe it or not, somebody kept a monkey in a house and he got up a tree and they'd called us out to rescue a monkey. Well, we
are Davy Jones?
No. And he wasn't somebody in a suit or anything like this. But yes, the more serious size, we do go to large animals, horses particularly, cows, larger animals. We have specific crews now that are trained. West Yorkshire's based at Cleckie and Humberside, they brought theirs across North Yorkshire. So with the more where we have a lot of rural brigades as well, we do train our staff on that side of the job.
Chrissy, this is something I was certainly unaware of. I mean, do you find with the general public, they're also unaware of how the fire service actually deals with animals as well?
They are, which is one reason why I wanted to really move on to this large animal rescue here at Bramham. Everybody at some point needs the fire service, no matter whether it's for road accidents, for fires, for animal rescues or whatever. Myself, I came from a fire service, but I had an accident on my horse, and that's my link to Bramham. And it's very much that wanting to get the people in the equestrian world aware of the sort of work that we can do with them and for them.
Ed?
I'm noticing you're celebrating your 70th anniversary, yeah. And you're not funded by the government in any way, and it costs £9 million to fund all of the worthy things that you do every year. And I was also looking at a smaller figure, £50, and a donation of that amount would allow you to do quite a lot of good work.
Yes, the sort of leaflet that you're looking at, it gives just a bit of a breakdown so that people can see sort of for £5 a month it would help towards a ventilator, or £100 would help towards a wheelchair for somebody. It costs us about £1,200 to £1,500 a week to put somebody through one of the rehabilitation centres. So it's an awful lot of money that we need to raise to allow firefighters and families and victims of burns to be able to access these sorts of facilities, yeah.
Dom, we were talking with some of your team earlier. Would you like to give some name checks? I mean, all these fine folks have actually been, I think, involved since 1968.
Yeah, we've got Howard Whittaker, who's a retired fire officer from many years ago, and he's been involved in the charity since 1968. As I mentioned, Martin Crossley is the serving fire officer at Cleckie, and who actually attended the incident down in Sheffield last week, which is the explosion from, because he was part of the urban search and rescue team down in Cleckie. Phil, who's based at Weatherby. So all these firefighters who are here now are all off duty, coming in their own time, because as you've rightly said, we don't get government funding. So we do support, yes, firefighters who are injured, recuperation therapy, but also families, friends, and burn victims. It's a new thing that we're doing, so that's not just firefighters, that's people who've been burnt, children and everybody, at an incident.
We're looking at a display which certainly sort of encompasses a whole range of things there, including, it's not a real horse, but obviously a dummy of a horse was actually there. Fred, very good, nice to personalise it. So what sort of things do you put together in terms of this display?
Basically what we've got is, the guys go off to Morton in the Mouse for training for large animal rescue, and they go to Buckinghamshire. For some reason, Buckinghamshire is the area where they did specialised training. And basically they've got the horse, which, as you can see, it's not a real horse, but depicts a real size, real weight, similar to when we have live casualties or dummies that we use. So they have strops to show how they actually pick them up safely.
Can we just wander over them, just get a flavour of this? So we might actually sort of ask Ed to possibly lift the horse, or see if he's a, I say Ed, Mr. Ed, sorry, it's the line. We've talked about it in various ways before. So what we've got here, I mean, it looks like a bit of a bucking bronco thing here, but this is a genuine sort of horse. Could be cattle, actually, in all sorts of ways. Dom, would you like to introduce us to this fine chap?
This is one of our watch commanders over in Humberside. I'll let you introduce his name.
My name's Jason Frary. I'm currently with the North Links Ops Support. We've got two appliances down here in our specialised technical rescue unit. We're just really demonstrating what we would do at a horse rescue, really.
So we've heard from Chrissy and Dom pretty much the importance of, obviously, the stuff you do within the rural communities. Roughly speaking, again, when you joined the fire service, did you think, working with animals? Surely not.
No, true, yeah. We've kind of evolved as we've kind of reflected on what kind of incidents that we get, really. We now go to some quite complex horse rescue incidents. And what we want to do, really, is we want to facilitate both the animals' welfare and obviously the crew's safety, and that's paramount for us.
Ed?
Yeah, so a horse gets into a situation like this. You're not sure, you know, what's...
Lying prone, let's be honest. I mean, if this was a horse you actually see on the Grand National, you probably wouldn't want to have a wager on it.
Definitely not. If it's lying in that position, you're going to think, I've wasted my money a little.
Dodgy,
here.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, Dom, just describe what we're saying. I mean, basically, the horse is lying sort of pretty much on its side, and this could have been because it's broken its leg, it's sort of had a bad fall. What's the lie?
Yeah, true. Sometimes the horses, they fall over due to being trapped in mud, or they could even, like, get themselves into water, into a dike or something like that, really. And they're unable to kind of self-rescue themselves. So what we'll do is we'll make sure we take charge of the horse so that once it is rescued, it's in a safe environment. But what we'll do is also assist the horse with a variety of strops and different lifting techniques. And really, we concentrate a lot on animal kind of behaviour as well. We do specific courses at the Bishop Burton College where we look at the behaviour of how animals react, from pigs to cows to sheep, horses, all sorts of animals, really. And because we know those kind of the way it's going to think, we can anticipate and we can also help it the way that it comes out as well.
Most challenging rescue you've been involved with as far as animals are concerned?
Yeah, most challenging rescue was a 14 stone bull mastiff that had fallen down a cesspit.
As they do,
yeah. It obviously, the weight of the cover had given way due to it being rusting. And we were faced with a large head of a bull mastiff, some six.
Probably a bit moody as well, I would have thought.
Yeah, not particularly good.
It took quite a nice
evening. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Luckily, the cesspit had been emptied recently, so it wasn't too bad. But we was there for a considerable length of time, and the dogs were quite thankful to be out.
So clearly, Chrissy, I mean, this is just reinforcing the notion of the range of things you actually do. How can people, if they're not familiar with this, how can they support you? Is there a website? Is there a way which people can actually connect to you?
Yeah, there's a website, which is www.firefighterscharity.org.uk.
And the displays and demonstrations you're doing for the 3 days of Bramham, just talk us through what sort of things you're doing and how frequently you're doing the thing.
Okay, so basically what we're doing is we're kind of just demonstrating some techniques. Obviously, because it would be in horse trials, we want to kind of specifically put it around the mock horse that we've got here today. But basically, what we're going to do is we're going to show people how we look at animals' welfare, we look at crew safety, we look at the techniques that we've kind of been championing throughout the Fire and Rescue Service, and how we can assist them, and also as well what the kind of the owners can expect from us. Yeah, what kind of things we're going to be asking them to do, how their safety is going to be paramount, because they're incredibly passionate about these animals, and it's also important that we keep them safe as well.
And just for the benefit of welfare, etc., it isn't a real animal or real horse, and you don't actually set any horses on fire during any of the demonstrations?
Absolutely no. Not yet, unless we want to drag some more crowds in.
Official or unofficial?
Okay, Southside Broadcasting still on location with the Midweek Drive for Siren 107.3 FM. Ed, a few years ago, I think it probably was at the Burley horse trials, was faced with a similar kind of question that has just crossed your mind when we actually passed the Dewberry Stand.
That's the question I wanted to ask you this morning when we met you, but I didn't. I thought I must be being very silly. I'm going to ask you again now. Oh, now you've got one foot in and one foot out. So
we're talking about a stand as opposed to a bed here.
Yes.
And it is actually a trough of water.
With a little bit of grass floating in it, yeah. And a couple of brown boots, which Ben is wearing. So tell us forth.
What are you doing, Ben?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's my only job. For the entire duration of the show, you know, it's only for 4 days,
yes,
but
it is a very important job.
It is. It not only does it promote the boots, but it gives everyone a nice little bit of a laugh as well. Not sure you'd see many people in a tweed suit standing in a bucket and some water. So you know, the ridiculousness of it makes it look quite good and gives everyone a laugh on a sunny day.
Now, Charles, who is a wonderful soul and obviously an area manager, I think an area manager's meeting today in Ireland, is that right?
He is, yeah. He's at a manager's conference over there at the moment.
Very good. Yep. Well, obviously, we'll send him our very best and hopefully catch up with him, etc. The thing I'm always impressed with you, Barry, is the stand. You set yourselves up very much as a kind of almost hunting lodge here, because, I mean, I look beyond yourself and I see, obviously, you might also be stepping into a whole new world, really.
It is. It's something that we've been trying to promote. It's the same thing we've been doing for 15 years now. It's overall, it's an atmosphere that you try to create. You know, it's not necessarily walking into a Staley home or something like that. It's walking in somewhere you feel comfortable, you feel friendly, but also looks nice as well, and gives quite a country feel as well to the products we're doing. We're doing tweed and we're doing the boots, so it links it all together and gives a good presentation overall.
And as I said, apart from the quirkiness of yourself or whomever is actually draws the lucky good fortune of actually spending the show season with their feet in Dewberry boots, proving their waterproof effectiveness, of course, in water, which is great stuff. Do you get a chance to see the show yourself? Because obviously Dewberry are responsible for some of the young rider classes as mm-hmm. well here. They're sponsoring them.
Certainly we are. We're doing the Dewberry Burley Young Event Horse, the 4 and 5 year old. So one of the few chances I'll get to have a look at the show tomorrow is going down and presenting the awards for that tomorrow. Which I'll be doing. Very rarely, though, do we get...
Without the water trough?
Well, it's not on wheels, unfortunately.
No, it's just thought, you know.
I can't take it about with me. But for the most part, we don't get a chance to look around the show on the first couple of days when it's quiet, maybe so. But usually we're far too busy for that, which is always good.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd say normally we catch up with you folk pretty much 8 a.m., 7 a.m. in the morning, which can be crucial if it's the second or third day, because usually the after-show party has been sort of... I mean, I know Charles has had several times where he's been a little bit sort of... Yeah, but he's always maintained his professionalism, which is good.
Yeah, it's the parties and everything that goes on in the evening...
Have you been warned about that, Ben?
Yeah, well, 5 years on the show circuit, you know, I've come across it a few times myself. But it is, it's you can have a great time, but it's about being sensible at the same time as well.
Words of Ben from Dewberry, you see, it's about being sensible at the same time. Looking ahead, of course, we've got the CLA Game Fair coming up, hopefully, won't be cancelled this year. Yes, exactly, fingers crossed. That must be, obviously, again, another one of the kind of events that really Dewberry, or the Game Fair without Dewberry, inconceivable.
It is, yeah. It's utter shame that it was cancelled last year, especially after so many other shows were pulled at the during the whole of last year, really. Coming straight from the Great Yorkshire and having the CLA cancelled was a big kick in the teeth. But it is, it's one of our primary events that we do throughout the season. It's one of the few shows you'll see us at where we've got a bar on the stand, alongside Burley and Badminton. So it's one of the crucial ones that we like to go to.
Indeed, one of our roving reporters, Nicola Clancy, who's taking a bit of time out, actually, was presented with a champagne flute, actually, at the Burley show last year. Just at the same time as Charles was attempting to actually take her top off. I best not say that again. It was all perfectly... As you know, Charles, sometimes he can have a bit of a rakish attitude to him, really. So, sometimes his approach is a bit too sophisticated, really.
Was it sophisticated? I'm not sure. Well, I don't want to comment.
It's all right.
On Charlie
I shall say really. At this moment, on his behalf, Charles does not spend time taking our reporters' tops off. It's the way. Listen back to the tape; it'll all be there. Listen, name check for some of the team who are actually working with you today. Who else have you actually got working with you in the whole setup?
We have Emmy Jenkin here, and we have Jess Wilcox as well, both who are new staff members to us, joined us at Badminton, and this is only their second show, but they're doing very well so far and loving the camping, in fact.
nothing like camping with you, Barry. So it's a series waiting to be done. Any other thoughts, Ed?
Yeah, Ben, we're out of show season, and when you're not standing in a bucket of water, what do you do through the winter months?
We do have a few shows on through the winter months. We have Horse of the Year, we have Olympia, Country Living and Cheltenham. So we do have a few more going on. But for the most part, it's reorganising and preparing for the next season. Booking the shows, which are quite time consuming, and organising those, but it's also looking for new opportunities. We have several other international markets that all need taken care of, and we always like to go over and see how they're doing. So it's quite a big role and involves quite a lot that you wouldn't necessarily expect.
To give it its full name, Dewberry of Ireland. Fantastic stuff, fantastic product. A web address, it remains?
It's www.dewberry.com.
And we'll hopefully catch up with you at the CLA Game Fair, if not the Great Yorkshire Show, or possibly both.
Yeah, hopefully so. We'll see you there.
Okay, now, the international nature of, obviously, the Equitrek Bramham International Horse Trials is brought very much to the fore in the press tent, because we're delighted now to be able to welcome Libby. And Libby, you're based with?
I'm based with Equestrian Sports New Zealand and an Eventful Life website in Australia. My main contracts. I am my own business, though. I'm a full freelancer.
So New Zealand and Australia, that's a bit of a risky balance, really.
No, it's fabulous. It is fabulous. It's that same thing with all sports. There's a unity, but there's also a strong sense of competition between the two. But it works out well.
Now, this morning we've already seen you busily at work with phenomenal equipment, cameras and all of that. What are you finding? News stories, copy, images, just what sort of thing? Just talk us through the typical sort of launch day here for yourself.
With Equestrian Sports New Zealand, I am focusing pretty much solely on the New Zealand riders. I will include the top three. It is all images. We have a press officer for Equestrian Sports New Zealand that's based in New Zealand. She does all the press releases. She gets all that information. I provide the photos. For an Eventful Life Australia, it's a worldwide website that is based in Australia. So there's high Australian and New Zealand content, but they are international. They cover all international events around the world. There's three other events going on around the world at the moment they're doing as well. I do little blurbs for them. I do little video crosses. I'm going to do some interviews for the riders and high imagery content. I upload about 40 to 50 images per day of the entire event, candid, competition, course walk, bringing people to the event without having to take that long flight or travel, what have you. So, yeah, it's really cool.
We use the term audio postcards and have done with Southside Broadcasting for our New Zealand... Actually, do we have any New Zealand? Mostly Los Angeles, actually. So it's there, but obviously we're working through this whole basis. But it is that notion of actually the global market that we're actually in. And obviously we've our colleagues from the BBC also here. But that international element is very much to the fore.
It is. It definitely is. And it's so accessible. It's quite interesting. I think people were scared that it would bring less people to events because they can get access to them from outside, but I don't think it is. It's those ones that would probably never be able to get to the event or all of a sudden have the exposure to them and actually feel with the voice, with the images, with the press releases, etc., they feel part of it and they can actually send messages to the event, which I hear the commentators saying, and be an actual part of it, which is really exciting for everyone. People competing, people here, people out there. It's a magic world at the moment.
Ed.
Libby, a great celebration of the countryside here in the UK and shows like this, animal shows and countryside lifestyle shows. How does that compare with events that you might be covering back home in New Zealand?
England is just in a world of its own when it comes to the country fairs, the horse trials. This is the hub of, well, the heart and soul of horse trials. Known internationally, especially the eventing side of things. I do travel to quite a few international events, US, throughout Europe, Australia, New Zealand. You can't compare to these. These are the prestige, the joy, the flamboyancy, the flair, the passion is just palpable. It's amazing. I couldn't compare it to anywhere. It's a step above everything.
Obviously, Bramham, midway between badminton and Burley in terms of the league, and of course Kentucky, that's sort of live from that. I always think that Winnie does a fantastic job in terms of looking after the press, etc., from that point of view, and it is important to look after the press, really. What do you think about that?
Winnie is amazing. We do get treated really well at all events, and here it's very special. We are spoilt. She's very organised in the way of getting riders in, like the things we need, she is there for us she'll bend over backwards. So it's a beautiful place to come. It's one of my favourite events to come to.
Obviously, Julian Seaman at Badminton, and indeed Bridget Jennings as well. We also acknowledge the wonderful folk. Ed, back to you.
Yeah, in terms of your own career, if you like, you're a freelance now, but did you have a career in press photography for a newspaper beforehand?
I didn't. I worked for a radio station in sales, but my background is marketing, sales marketing, event management, and tourism. And I've always had a camera on me. And I've done quite a lot of courses. I haven't done anything extremely formal in the way of courses, but I've done a lot of quite substantial courses throughout New Zealand and Australia. I never had the courage to actually make it into a job because so many people say, oh, it's too hard.
Create your own living.
Yes. Well, and now I'm in my mid-30s.
No, I thought it was early 20s at least.
It was 4 years ago that I decided, and I got the encouragement from the right people, the right advice, to get out there and do it. And I hit the ground running with my marketing background, and I used to write, so my passion for writing is incredible. Eventing is where I was, eventing is where it is for New Zealand and Australia, and I can make this work and live from it and live this amazing lifestyle, which is pretty full on. I'm usually up at 6 a.m. and I don't go to bed sometimes till 4 a.m.
Because the gives you 2 hours.
No, exactly. But I love it, and I bounce through the day. The energy is incredible that I get.
And obviously, if memory serves, it was a New Zealand lad who actually sort of picked up badminton this year.
It was, and Andrew Nicholson picked up Kentucky, so that was the
yes,
entry.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
I am lucky. I am following an incredible team. Equestrian Sports New Zealand, as well as an organisation, is leading the way. People are talking about it worldwide on how they're developing their squads. I'm backing a winning team, and you know, there's where the success is, and I acknowledge that hugely.
So you're suggesting that William Foxpit and Zara Phillips might as well just pack up today, then, basically.
No, I love William Foxpit and Zara, and I do adore all the riders. I must say I am very biased.
Nicola Watkin, local lass?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And the Germans, I adore everything. Of course, I am passionate, and I get very excited when the New Zealanders win. Luckily, with what I'm doing, because of my freelance side, not all my eggs are in one basket. I am supplying images of international riders out to the international market, not so much Great Britain, but international. It's an incredible sport with the sportsmanship. The amount that these guys actually win to the amount they don't gives me inspiration, because it's tough.
Libby, this obviously going out globally as well. Is there a web address that people can actually access your details on and also find out more about the fantastic work that you do?
Yes, my own website is www.libbylawphotography.com. And, of course, you can always Google Equestrian Sports New Zealand or An Eventful Life, because that's where most of my work will be actually shown.
Genuine delight. Hopefully we could actually talk about maybe featuring you on a semi-regular basis as the year proceeds with our shows on the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Fantastic, no problem.